Hello, this is Matt, WB2SRI. Welcome to part one of my 2022 shortwave receiver comparison shootout. We'll be listening to eight different radios this evening, mostly top-of-the-line Dream receivers, from the 1980s up to the present day. More on that in a second. If you've never listened to one of my receiver comparisons before, please, please make sure you're listening in stereo and, if at all possible, using headphones. This is important because I'll be using the left and right stereo channels to play received audio from two different radios simultaneously. So this way, you can easily switch back and forth between the two radios that I'm comparing just by switching earpieces. And you can use the rewind function to listen over and over again until you get a good sense of how the two radios compare with each other on exactly the same signal at the same time. This evening, I've decided to take advantage of the good weather and go up onto my roof. And I've brought with me eight radios, along with my portable Wellbrook FLX 1530 loop antenna and an RF distribution amplifier. And I'll talk about the configuration that I brought after we're done. All eight radios are hooked up to the amplifier, so they're getting exactly the same signal. And each radio's audio is taken from its line output and fed via an isolation interface into my audio recorder, into the eight different channels. So all of this is being done, by the way, in real time with no post-editing. So as I'm speaking, I have no idea what the band conditions will be or whether they'll hold up consistently. So what you hear is what we got. Our test signal right now is a marginal signal. The BBC World Service on 9915 kilohertz broadcasting to Africa from Madagascar. Now, we're in Washington, D.C., so we're definitely outside their coverage area, making this a pretty marginal signal right now. But that'll really show what the different receivers can do. So what are our eight radios? So our eight radios are, first of all, the ICOM R8600, which is a high-quality current production DC to daylight receiver that has excellent shortwave performance. And we'll be using that as our reference radio. So we'll compare each of the other seven radios to it one by one. And actually, we're listening to it right now in the background beneath me, tuned to 9915. Next radio is the AOR AR1. This is another DC to daylight radio from the early 2000s. It may even be current production. It's very expensive, hard to get in the United States, and it doesn't have much of a reputation on shortwave. So it'll be interesting to hear how it does. Next will be the Reuter Pocket Receiver, and this is an interesting high-performance, low-production German radio. Difficult to get in the U.S., but it's very nice because it's extremely portable and it has a real-time spectrum display. It packs a lot of performance into a very small package. Next will be the AOR 7030 Plus. This is a very well-regarded AOR radio that was introduced around 2000 and designed and made in the United Kingdom. Then we'll listen to the Drake R8B, another well-regarded radio and the last of the great Drake receivers. It also dates back to the late 90s, early 2000s. After that, we'll listen to the Drake R7A from the 1980s. This was really the last of the great analog receivers. Then we'll move on to some more consumer-oriented radios. Sony ICF 68000W, which was a top-of-the-line consumer radio from the early 1980s, all analog but with a digital counter display. And then our last receiver will be the Panasonic RF 4900, which was at the time the chief competitor to the Sony 6800W. It's technically a portable radio, but I will have to say it was a lot of work getting it up here onto the roof. All right, so let's get started. First, let's listen to the ICOM at full volume for a bit to get a sense of what the signal we're listening to is and what we can do with it. I'll get out of the way and turn the volume up for a bit, and then we'll move on to the next radio. See, there wasn't that much signal in there, but there was some. So let me move that all the way over to the left channel, which is where we're going to leave it. And now we can listen to our next radio, the AOR AR1, which I've brought up onto the right channel. Let me get out of the way. Now, you might have noticed, actually, I think the AOR did slightly better, but it was pretty close. All right, our next radio is the Reuter Pocket receiver, and let's see how that does. Now I'll get out of the way. Okay, I think the Reuter acquitted itself quite well there on that marginal signal. It might have even beat out the ICOM. Let's listen to our next radio, the very well-regarded AOR 7030. Let me bring that up and I'll get out of the way. And we're getting a little bit more of the signal right now. I think the bands are opening up a bit more. All right, our next radio is the Drake R8B. So here that is. Let me get out of the way. Thank you. Okay. Again, I think that's doing surprisingly well for an older receiver, but that was why it was so well regarded. Now let's go to our first of our all analog radios, the wonderful Drake R7A. Can it hold up? All right, I think what that showed us was that it's a pretty good performer, but it is a little edged out, I thought, by the ICOM. So, you know, those older analog radios are terrific. They're a lot of fun to use, but the more modern receivers may have a little performance edge. All right, let's go to our consumer radios. Let's start with the Sony 6800W. All right, not bad, not quite the ICOM, but you know, for such an old radio and basically a consumer analog radio, though a very good one, I think it held up really, really well. All right, finally, the beautiful Panasonic RF4900. Let's hear what that can do. Okay, so that, you know, held up pretty well. You could still get some signal out of there. All of these radios on this marginal signal, you know, were not, you know, they were clearly not the same, but the differences between them were not as large as, frankly, I had expected. Now, these are all, you know, close to top of the line receivers from their eras. And they're all in pretty good shape, but you know, I think That shows that maybe, you know, if you don't want the bells and whistles of the latest receivers, you don't necessarily need to upgrade to the next one each time. The performance differences themselves are not actually all that great. All right, let me just talk a little bit about the method that I used here. I tuned every radio as favorably as I could. Now, not everything has the same bandwidth, not everything has the same capabilities. So I used whichever tuning method, whichever mode, whether synchronous, synchronous upper, synchronous lower, or just straight AM, 4 kilohertz, 6 kilohertz, 8 kilohertz bandwidth filter. I did whatever with each radio gave to my ear the best signal to noise. And you may tune it differently and prefer a different sound, but because the radios aren't directly comparable, I had to kind of make a judgment there. So each of the radios uses, to the extent possible, not all of them have it, the line output audio. When that wasn't available, I used the earphone audio. But in every case, the audio is going through an isolation transformer, a Switchcraft Model 318 direct interface, which is a handy little device for this sort of recording. All of this goes into a sound devices recorder and mixed using a sound devices console, again, all in real time. So there's no editing going on in here, other than the only post-production will be converting to MP3 for putting it up on the net. But I didn't know how this would go, whether the bands would hold up at all, when we started. So I think we got pretty lucky. Now microphone I'm using, by the way, it's a little windy, and there's ambient sound and sirens and all of that stuff. I'm using a Kohl's lip microphone, which is a really neat microphone made for the BBC for use in noisy environments. And if you hear me with reasonably clear audio, then you can tell that it kind of works. Here, let me get rid of the radio static. This is just me. And any background noise you're hearing is, I'll tell you, much lower than it is in real life right here. So anyway, thanks so much for listening. I will be back with a part two, where we will listen to some other signals under other conditions with the same radios. But for now, this is Matt, WB2SRI, signing off.